Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday the 7th of December, recording at 8:56 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. In global stock markets, they have been characterized by rallies pretty well across the boards. And those have continued today in Asia, although Hong Kong was an exception. And Wall Street, well, it's about flat on the day here right now. But it's been pretty solid week of rallies on interest rate cuts and some relief that the situation, the problem in the U.S. was at least being dealt with. That's the subprime-related problem, of course, and the credit crisis of confidence. And in terms of global bonds, now they've had an awfully good run. It's really been overall upward trends since June, or was it July, one or the other. But we've definitely, I think it's June, but we have definitely seen some profit-taking here this week, and U.S. Treasuries had also encountered some towards the end of last week. Now, the U.S. dollar has been on a bit of a run on the upside for a change. A lot of short covering coming in there. Some evidence of a pause now near the end of this week. Precious metals consolidating with a neutral to slightly downward bias, including today. We saw some small declines. Gold bullion back under $800, currently at $796. Industrial metals, however, have definitely firmed, or at least the ones that were oversold and overstretched on the downside, such as tin, copper, and zinc. And the crude oil market has not been able to maintain yesterday's rally above $90, and so is still under a bit of pressure in here, currently 88.34. It has weakened this week. The grain and bean complex has been very steady, and today we've had wheat limit up, strong gains in soybeans, and also corn pretty firm as well. Now, I think those are the main highlights. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously, stock markets have heaved a great sigh of relief that we have seen further indications of interest rate cuts, and psychologically, at any rate, there is certainly some short-term relief over the five-year plan, never mind all the controversy that will cause in the United States. What it has done, as I said in yesterday's audio, is it has removed the Damoclean sword that people were worrying about of endless reschedulings occurring in 2008 and people being turfed out of their homes, which would then be dumped on the markets, and then more of the same in 2009. So I think this is at least of psychological significance, and quite possibly a good deal more. And stock markets have been celebrating that, and that has also led, of course, to a knee-jerk reaction in response to some in terms of some bond price selling. Now, who's buying in here? Well, I think first, quite a bit of short covering has been seen in stock markets, and that's included the bank shares, although their rally has hardly been a pace setter. So really, the banks are still a concern, and that suggests to me that some of these indices, a lot of these Western indices, are going to remain range-bound. It's just that they've moved from the lower side of their range back up to the higher side of their range. And we can classify this also as a bit of a Christmas rally which is certainly a seasonal factor. Now, one of what I'm pleased to see, but not surprised, one of the forecasts is that the Fuller Money favorite themes, and for new subscribers, I think you're probably aware of that, but certainly the Asian-led emerging markets, with Chindia to the fore, the resources markets, the strong resources markets, Australia to Brazil, and not excluding Russia. And it's one of the first to hit another new high in here on this move. that these markets would, for the most part, fall less than Wall Street and what the European stock markets experienced. And moreover, that when the Western markets rallied, that those main Fuller Money themes, those long secular Fuller Money themes, would push up right back up to their highs and through more quickly. And we are seeing that. We saw, for the most part, fairly small downward reactions, and we've seen some new highs in here recently, and that's included India, not China or Hong Kong, which have been in a more of a medium-term corrective phase, but they've certainly been steady. In China has clearly steadied in the last week, but the resources have, as I've just mentioned, have surged up, and that's included the favored a number of the favored shares in that sector. So that's been reassuring and quite impressive. Overall, that picture is as Wall Street has held at the lower side of its range, held near the August lows, and pushed back up into the middle to upper towards the upper third of its overall range. And we've seen a number of these favorite themes touch new highs or be very, very close to actually doing so. Now, overall, I think that, well, maybe next week we get a little bit of profit taking, maybe not, because the Fed's cut, which is inevitable, I think, we'll get a 25 basis point cut on Tuesday. That has obviously been discounted in here, so we may see a little bit of hemming and hawing and profit taking, but the important point is that there's no reason, in my view, to suspect that we're going into a broad sort of global bear market. We clearly aren't out of the woods, to coin a phrase, in terms of the banking crisis, but nobody really expects that. But as I've emphasized over and over again, risk is often lowest when it is most visible. And risk has been highly visible, with the exception that people haven't been quite sure where the subprime problems are going to pop up next. But we've had a good worry about that. And the thing about a crisis, as I've mentioned before, is that it has to be seen to be getting worse for it to have a major impact on markets. And I don't think that's the case here. And there is a general feeling that, whether they agree with the strategy or not, that certainly politicians and monetary officials are not standing around frozen in fear. They're actually doing things and addressing the problems, and the central banks have certainly thrown plenty of liquidity into the system. Mind you, they needed to, given the write-offs and given the weakness that we'd seen in stock markets, which had certainly eliminated a lot of liquidity. But overall, problems that I have often aired as things that were out on the horizon that we needed to watch for that could cause problems. Bond markets, okay, the U.S. has had a tough week in terms of bond market action, but that's coming off the higher side of its range since 2003. Now, that's not really a problem. If we see U.S. Treasury bond prices pressuring, and we will eventually, but I don't expect it anytime soon. If we see them pressuring the June lows, then that will be another story. But overall, what we're seeing from bonds is not a problem, and to see them lose a bit of form is, I would suggest, tailwind actually for the stock market at these levels, because what it would suggest is that some money is going to come back out of bonds and go into equities. And the US dollar, that's been another factor that I have certainly worried about from time to time. And the in terms of an accelerating dollar decline, and that being seen very much as a crisis. Well, we got close to that, didn't we? During the subprime problems, the dollar did accelerate downwards a little bit, but it has certainly checked that for at least the near term, as we've been saying for the last for over a week. And the other factor is the oil price that I've often mentioned, saying that a spike upwards in the oil price would be a problem. Well, we got sort of close to that because the trend for crude oil on the upside did steepen a bit, sort of a modest acceleration as it got close to that $100 level. But here we are today at 88.32. So oil is very much in a medium-term consolidation, and that's not so worrying for the stock market. And to the extent that people look at gold as a barometer of crises, I don't, incidentally. I never really have. I regard gold as hard money and a hedge against the loss of purchasing power in fiat money. But again, some people do regard gold as a or a gold strength as a harbinger of bad things, and gold is in a medium-term consolidation here right now. So put it all together, and I say that's a favorable background for stock markets. We'll get a few, they'll run into a few speed bumps along the way, but I expect this December rally to carry into the new year, and we might get back to a fairly typical sort of first quarter of the new year. And pre-election years for Wall Street are usually reasonably good. We'll still have the favorable seasonal factors, and we're certainly going to have we will or I should say we will have no concerns about a tight monetary policy from the Fed. We do still have some problems over the freeze-up in terms of bank lending, but that too can be addressed and is being addressed. So I expect that to abate in time. And again, just repeat that point that risk is often lowest when it is most visible, and we have heard daily about those interbank borrowing rates for months now. So it's a problem that people are beginning to feel a little bit more comfortable with, I would suggest, at least in terms of stock market investors. I don't mean that it's any less painful for anybody who's actually having to pay some of those higher loans. I think that the worst that we're likely to see for these Western stock markets, including the United States, will be a dull period. That might seem quite preferable to the sort of wild gyrations that we were getting, let alone further downward trending activity. I do not expect the further downward trending activity. I expect sideways ranging and then somewhat higher levels. And against that background, I would expect some of the favored fuller money themes, certainly the secular themes, to have some pretty solid gains on the upside. Now, also some of the more recent fuller money themes, which are I regard as cyclical themes, And I would put technology in that category. And then very recently, I've been saying that that nibbling at these financial shares and very depressed property shares and house building shares, that they had reached levels where one could certainly consider that. You may well feel that you don't need to do that yourself, and I feel no great compunction to do this. But the object of the game is to buy low, particularly when there's blood in the streets, and sell high. Certainly, sell high if you have a cyclical theme. I'm not going to sell what I regard as my secular themes in my long-term portfolio, because they're higher than they were. So, interesting environment, as I say, overall, and a lot more promising than I think many people would have dared to hope. Only a fortnight or so ago. Okay, what about the government bond markets? Well, again, I've already pretty well covered that. We'll see a little bit more money coming out of there. We were long positions. Some of the momentum plays are going to be coming out, but I don't think we'll get a heavy sell-off at this stage. But I've said for a while we'd seen the best of the bond market rally gains, and there's a good chance that we've seen all of the bond market rally gains that we're likely to have for a good good many months. So I'd be a little careful in that sector. And I think that if I did anything in the bonds at this stage, I'd probably be putting on some short positions. Why am I not doing that or doing some more active in some other with positions right now? I say because I am taking a week off starting next Friday. So I'll be here for the first 5 days of next week, but then I will be away for six markets days starting next Friday. And very much back after the Christmas period. I think I'm in for a day, possibly just before Christmas. Okay, so moving on here. What about the dollar? Well, I think it gets harder from here, although I've said that we've seen lows of at least short-term significance. Some of those rallies have been pretty unimpressive. Not least against the Asian currencies, but where governments, which are overall still undervalued in my view, all of them. I mean, some of those Asian countries have been fretting about the strength of their currencies recently because they're unaccustomed to it. And in South Asia, India is one of the ones that has expressed some concern about the strength of the currency. Thailand had earlier on, Korea had. I think Singapore might have as well. I'm not sure about Singapore. I may be incorrect on that. But overall, these currencies are still pretty cheap. And I don't see the dollar really rallying much against them at all. As a matter of fact, this time next year, I would expect the dollar to be weaker against all of those Asian currencies and probably a lot sooner. Now, the where we have seen the bigger rebounds are against the Canadian dollar. Again, Canada has fretted about the strength of its currency. So had New Zealand earlier on. So had Australia. So these look like medium-term corrections. But even against those currencies, I say it gets harder from here. I think we've seen the best part of the dollar's rally. That was mostly short covering, and then you get a few long positions established. I think that any further gains by the dollar against those currencies will be, excuse me, will be labored, and will not endure for all that long. So I think of this more as a good rebound, breaking the dollar's short-term downward trend, and then going into a ranging phase overall. And so I don't look for much further weakness in those resources currencies. And of course, interest rate cuts for the in the United States just make the dollar a little bit less attractive in terms of a buy and hold proposition. And it also makes the US dollar more attractive in terms of being a carry trade currency. And I think the yen is still reasonably attractive as a carry trade currency. And as confidence returns, not to mention eventually animal spirits to the markets, then I think we will see a softer yen once again and a softer dollar as those carry trade positions increase. Now, in terms of the industrial metals, there has been a lot of talk in recent weeks, months, and some people have been saying it for years that the whole commodity supercycle was just a myth, that the commodity bull runs were over. And in fairness to these people, they've had some technical evidence pointing to the big shakeouts in copper and nickel and zinc. My view on this is that those are just big medium-term corrections which go with the territory overall, and that those downward reactions aren't going to last. A little bit of technical evidence, although we lost the backwardations, indicating a softer tone, that the contangos have never really fully reflected interest rate differentials. So they've been just very small contangos overall. I think there have been a lot of short positions in the market. I think during the worst of Wall Street's problems, a number of people were understandably very concerned about the overall GDP growth theme. But my feeling, and this is a point I have mentioned before, but I really do want to emphasize it, is that most research is really still very much biased in favor of the mode that anything goes wrong with Wall Street, and that really is a big problem for the rest of the global economy. Now, I'm not saying that the global economy uncouples, far from it. I'm talking economically now, not stock markets. Economically, globalization means that, if anything, economies are more coupled than at any time in the past. But what has changed is that we've gone from being a unipolar world in terms of economies, dominated by the United States, into a multipolar world, and the new boys on the block are growing a whole lot faster than a mature economy such as the US. So when problems, economic problems, hit the US, sure, that sends out ripples and even shock waves. I think that when people point to Europe and the weakness we've seen, well, there was a lot of the subprime problems were replicated within Europe, but not in China, for instance, not in India, not in Brazil, not in Russia, which is performing so well right now. So we're very much in a multipolar world in terms of economic power. The emerging markets are producing over 50% of the GDP growth, and their percentage is going to rise really very fast. That's an exciting prospect, and that just reflects better governance in those countries and is a triumph generally. I know it'll cause some ecological problems, and that's another story, and I'm not going to go into that here at this time, but I want to make this main point that so much of the analysis is still assuming that if there's any problem in the US, that will not only ripple outwards to all other countries, but people feel that it will have a multiplier effect. In other words, you know that old adage about if the US sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. Well, that's not true anymore. And I think that, again, we have a more balanced playing field here overall, so that the US is another important economy, and a very important one because it's the world, still is the world's largest economy. But the game is changing very, very fast, and that tends to lend stability, not to decrease it. So I don't expect all that much of a slowdown in the global infrastructure theme, for instance, in the Asian growth story theme, in the resources theme. They're all interrelated, of course, but I do expect an underperforming US economy for really quite a while. And I don't think Europe's going to do all that much better for quite a while, although Germany's economy has certainly been doing quite well recently. Or, and when I say recently, over the last year or two. Now, going back to these markets, so my point is that we have seen a lot of short selling in the industrial metals, and I think where prices really are depressed, and I'm talking again about copper, even more so nickel, even more so zinc, that we're going to see those prices snap back up. And the process has already begun, and I think it's just begun, and I think that will carry well into 2008. And incidentally, there's a fabulous report written by the chief economist of Rio Tinto. I know it was put out as part of their defense program to fend off the takeover efforts from BHP or anyone else, as far as all those rumors have been concerned. But it really, really is a very good report. I read it very carefully. I was skeptical to begin with, and it stands on its own merits, and I commend it to you. Now, precious metals, there is a story going around that, well, they did so well from August onwards, as that crisis was getting underway, that really, as other markets stabilize, that gold will be go down a very long way. Well, if you or anyone you know bought gold because they were concerned about subprime problems or whatever, then to that extent, yes, I would expect those people to be coming out of precious metals. I certainly didn't buy gold on that basis. I bought gold because it had completed a very, very large consolidation that had lasted for the better part of a year, and that I saw this overall background of ever more liquidity creation, printing of all these fiat currencies, and so I wanted the gold play as a good store of wealth. Gold remains right now, and the other precious metals, very much in medium-term consolidations, just as crude oil is. That will continue for at least a few more weeks, but overall, I feel that gold and silver, I mean, they're really in buying ranges down at these levels, not selling ranges. Although I have to say that quick performance would be not certainly by no means impossible down at these levels, but I would be a little bit cautious in terms of forecasting that. I would say that would be a pleasant, not a great surprise, but the other way to put it is, don't be disappointed if they're just a little bit dull here for a few weeks. This has been the nature of the pattern. You get a build up, a long-ranging build up, and then you get a sprint, and then you go into at least a few more, see at least a few more weeks of ranging consolidation activity. Okay, what among the resources really is in form right now, and that's the grain and bean complex. Don't be surprised if we see some explosive moves on the upside in the next few weeks. When it becomes front page story, it'll probably be overextended, and it may cause some jitters in the bond market and even the stock markets. Meanwhile, another interesting week, and that's it from me. Have a great weekend. That's exactly what I intend to do, and see you Monday. All the best.